The weakest person in a friendship controls the friendship. It's like a weak link in a chain. You take a chain with all these different links, and each of those links represent a different friend. And the weakest friend in that chain will determine how much stress you can put on that chain.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy continues his series, When to Fix or Finish a Friendship. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center as we continue this really all-important series on the topic of friendships. Our friends will make us or break us in many ways, and we tend to be like the friends we hang around with. We can be drawn up or brought down. And the question we're asking in this series is this: when do you know when it's time to either fix or finish a friendship? And we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, coming up here in just a moment, so don't go away.
My one thing is I want to be less authoritative and more intentional. So I want to be more the kind of parent that will take away the dinner when she's being a picky eater and not do it in an authoritative tone.
My name is Jose and my wife Nidia, and the one thing we want to purpose in our heart is to love each other every day, kiss each other every day, and say love you every day.
My name is Matthew, and my one thing is to read 3 chapters of the Bible a day to my son.
Hey, these are real people coming from one of our conferences talking about what they want to be intentional in their family. Well, we have some good news. We have a reunion tour. Dr. Kevin Lehman and I will be hosting a Hope for Your Home series starting in the Southwest in Albuquerque. Albuquerque coming April the 7th. And then coming up a little later in that month in Phoenix. And we'll tell you more about those conferences in the days ahead. But I want you to know that for Albuquerque, right now you can get your tickets and get registered. Hoffmantown Church, by the way, April 7th. And, you know, the focus is going to be on marriage and parenting. Kevin Lehman's going to be speaking from his best-selling book called Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours, The Principles of Raising a Responsible Adult. I'm going to be talking about marriage. We'll be taking questions, and we're going to have a lot of humor, not only hope, but humor and help for your family. So get your tickets, Albuquerque, April 7th. We'll have the details on Phoenix in just a day or two, so be watching for that. Go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's go to the Teaching Center and continue this series on when to fix or finish a friendship.
And so when I think about friendship, and there's lots of definitions, but this is sort of a working definition for me. Friendship is a growing relationship, and I use the word growing, meaning that there's a sense of love and a closeness. It's not just stagnant. It's not like it was 20 years ago, but there's a sense of really connecting with each other at a deeper level. It's a growing relationship that is built upon honesty. We'll talk about that. If you can't have an honest relationship, you can't have a friendship. There's dishonesty, the friendship will fail. There has to be trust, mutual respect. The friendship will be stronger if there's shared interests and values between equally mature people. And I carefully chose those words. If you find in friendships that you have one person who's not very mature and the other person is more mature, that creates, as we'll see in a moment, a dynamic in that relationship, in that friendship, which is a problem. Equally mature people who have no hidden agendas. No hidden agendas. You know, stopping for just a moment, you may have a friend and your goal in that friendship is to reach them for Christ. You're coming into that friendship with an agenda. I mean, just acknowledge it. Now, you can be friendly and you can have a good relationship and they may even consider you a friend and you may be friendly. But remember, you're coming into the relationship with a certain agenda. And whenever we enter into a relationship with an agenda, we got to be careful in how we define friendship. Friendship is one of those words that's sort of all-inclusive. You know, my wife is my friend. My neighbor is my friend. My friends at church. We have a word that kind of covers a broad, like, umbrella term for a lot of different kinds of relationships. And what I've seen over the years of counseling with people
is many times the reason we have trouble in relationship is we don't understand the nature of the relationship. One person considers you, you're my best friend. And you may be looking at it as an opportunity to reach them for Christ. And you're coming at this relationship with two different motives. And at some point, that can create a dynamic or a tension in the relationship. So keep in mind that a friendship is this growing dynamic of two people who have shared interest headed in the same direction. Otherwise, you need to really consider, is it something other than a friendship? Now, I want to make just four statements about friendship, and then I want to give 10 warning signs that we either need to fix a friendship or we need to finish a friendship. Here's the first point. And you've heard me say this before in other contexts. The weakest person in a friendship controls the friendship. It's like a weak link in a chain. You take a chain with all these different links, and each of those links represent a different friend. And the weakest friend in that chain will determine how much stress you can put on that chain. Have you ever been together in a group and you find one person in this group of friends that you have that because of their immaturity or because of their moodiness or touchiness or whatever it is that they kind of control how much can go on in that friendship or in that group? And this is true not only in friendship. By the way, this is true in marriage. One of the things I see in counseling with couples is if you have two people in a marriage and one is more mature than the other, the weakest person will always control that marriage. They'll control how much you can stretch that marriage. They'll control how much, how far you can go in that marriage in terms of really growing. Because you can't grow beyond your weakest link. You can't hook up a chain and expect it to pull any more weight than what that weakest link is able to hold. The weakest person controls the health of the friendship. And there's five signs of a weak link that you may have in a friendship. Here's a sign that you have a weak link in a friendship. Whenever you feel like you're walking on eggshells when you're around that person. When you're around that person, you know when you come into that relationship, you're careful because you're afraid, am I going to step on the wrong thing? Am I going to say the wrong thing? What kind of mood are they going to be in today when we're together? And if you feel like you're walking on eggshells and then you have a person who's immature and is a weak link in the friendship. Secondly, if you find you can't be yourself when you're with a person. You know, one of the beautiful things about a true friendship is you can just be who you are.
This is Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment. When you become a monthly member, you'll be receiving our Intentional Living new member kit, which includes Dr. Randy's autographed bestsellers, Starve for Affection, and The Power of One Thing, the Intentional Living wristband, and his teaching CDs every month. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
What's one thing that can make a huge difference in the quality of your marriage?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living.
You know, the research is very clear that when best friends marry and they remain best friends in the marriage relationship, they're going to have the happiest marriage, they're going to have the most encouraging marriage, and they're going to have the longest living marriage. And if you want to have a marriage that lasts for 50 years or more, begin with being best friends. Now, you may have to develop that, consistently nurture that by spending time together, by doing things that best friends would do, being honest with each other, sharing with each other, challenging each other, but certainly taking it even a step further because of intimacy in marriage, really loving each other in a way that honors Christ. For Intentional Living, I'm Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
We've been best friends since freshman year in high school, which was back in 1969. And over the years, we have kind of drifted apart in our lifestyles. And it's really difficult to maintain the closeness. We've both tried to be very intentional about reaching out and keeping in touch. It's just very different. I have one friend in particular who I've known for 12 years who has been a good friend. She's tried and true. And, I mean, we've had our ups and downs as in any relationship. I'm not very comfortable in the relationship anymore. And I feel like because I've sort of been, I feel as though over time I've been confined into this little box of expectations and what Kimberly will do and things like that.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching from When to Fix or Finish a Friendship.
Here's a sign that you have a weak link in a friendship. Whenever you feel like you're walking on eggshells when you're around that person. When you're around that person, you know when you come into that relationship, you're careful because you're afraid, am I going to step on the wrong thing? Am I going to say the wrong thing? What kind of mood are they going to be in today when we're together? And if you feel like you're walking on eggshells and then you have a person who's immature and is a weak link in the friendship. Secondly, if you find you can't be yourself when you're with a person, you know, one of the beautiful things about a true friendship is you can just be who you are. You don't have to be anybody different. You don't have to put on a front. You don't have to be phony. You just be who you are. Third, a weak link in a friendship is when you're not sure you can trust the person. When there's a lack of trust in a friendship and the trust has been broken, someone who talks behind your back, someone who shares with others information that shouldn't be shared, you know, the kinds of things that just break trust in marriage can also break trust in friendship as well. And that is very difficult. Number four is when you fall, when you have a failure in your life, is that person there for you? Have you ever noticed the true friends are the ones who are there when the things get really tough? When things are really down, all of this large group of friends, like for Christ, they all kind of disappeared, didn't they? They came back, but it was like when things get tough, who's still going to be there? And that is a definition of who's the weakest link in a friendship. If you fail just once, you'll see pretty quickly who your true friends are. And here's what we find. Many times, it's not the people you expect. When things get tough, sometimes the people who show up to be real friends aren't the ones that you really thought before were your truest friends. But there was something about their being there with you and wanting to be a part of your life at that time. Aristotle made the statement that misfortune shows those who are not really friends. Boy, is that true. And then number five on this list of when do you know you have a weak link in a friendship? When you succeed and they aren't thrilled that you're succeeding. You know, the Bible says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. But sometimes, instead of having a friendship, you have a competition. And in friendship, when someone starts to do well, maybe they get a promotion or they have something success in their life, something positive going on, can you truly be happy for them? True friends are happy when their friends are successful. It's not a competition, but it's a friendship. And they're pleased when you do better. So the weakest person, remember this, the weakest person in a friendship will always control that friendship. Number two, not all friendships are created equal. You know, I checked this morning before I came in here to teach this lesson, and I discovered that I have 111,000 friends. And I can prove it. Just go to Facebook. And I got 111,000 friends. Is that friends? That's how we define friendship today. Our definition of what a friend is not a Facebook friend. Not 111,000 wonderful people who I consider to be friends. But that's not what we're defining as friends today. When we think of those two or three people in our lives, if we're fortunate over a lifetime to have two or three people that are so close and that we can just be who we are with them. You know, there's some misunderstandings that occur because of the definition of friendships that we talked about before. And just a few statements. Not all working relationships are friendships. The research is clear that in a workplace like this, when you have friends with when you're friends with each other, it encourages staff morale
and productivity, and it's a positive thing. There can be some complications to it as well, right? When you have friends in the workplace and then all of a sudden there's disagreement and that kind of thing. One of the things I'm so proud of as I look at Family Life Radio and Intentional Living is how many of you are friends with each other outside of the ministry. And I see some who've been in the ministry who are now left the ministry, and you see them on Facebook or whatever, and they're maintaining very close friendships. I like that. That's encouraging to me to see that we can be in a place where we can develop those kinds of friendships. But not all friendships in the workplace are the kind of intimate friendships where you can just unload what's going on in your life, how you're feeling or what you're struggling with. Secondly, mentoring, because that's a big thing in our Christian community that we want to mentor. Mentoring relationships are not friendships. And people get confused with that often.
We're live back here in Intentional Living Studio. Pick up there. Next time, we'll continue this series on when to fix or finish a friendship. Love your comments. Remember, the weakest person will control a friendship. Maybe you have some thoughts on that or something you've heard that sparks an aha moment, okay? Love to hear it. You can call us at 888-888-1717 and press number 2 for our comment line. Can I give you another number to push, though? Number 4 when you call? That'll take you right to our staff during West Coast business hours, where they're ready to receive those of you who are calling to share and support and to join us with the Intentional Living Ministry as a monthly member. Your support is essential. It's important. I want to thank you for joining us. Whatever the amount is each month that God lays on your heart, I want to challenge you. Think about $1 a day, $30 a month, or more. That would be very helpful. And we do have this new member kit that we're going to get to you, two of our best-selling books, and the month teaching for this month on having more aha moments. It's our gift to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. And when you get there, you'll see the donate up in the right-hand corner of the homepage, the little green button. Click on that and come and join us. We'll check in with some thoughts from people who were at my teaching when I originally taught this lesson, coming up in just a moment.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
My name is Jeremy. My struggle started with sexual integrity. I'm intentional by staying in the Word and meeting with other brothers in Christ once a week to share struggles and to encourage each other. God led me through a lot of difficult times to turn me into the man that He needed me to be, both for myself and for my family.
Your membership with Intentional Living makes you a part of a team that encourages and strengthens each other to follow Christ. As a monthly member, you keep Intentional Living on the air. Join right now. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Her role was that she was trying to share Christ with me, and, you know, I had become a Christian, and then we eventually left and went to college and had to do some adjusting, and our interactions at that time were really difficult, really hurtful, so I didn't call her for about 10, 15 years. She called me back, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. Well, I wouldn't want to share my heart with her for fear that she'll be judging, because there's a lot of judgment that goes along.
I've been friends with my friend Sarah since we were in middle school. You know, we did everything together. You know, I mean, we still are. We're just alike. But our lives just, you know, have kind of gone different ways. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do with her. It's like everything that I do, she puts down.
You know, sometimes relationships are so difficult, and that's why this series is designed to help you decide, how do I fix it, or at what point do I have to finish a friendship? I would love your comments at 888-888-1717, like I get from my staff and visitors when I do teaching. Right after we finish the teaching, we pass the mic around and ask people to share with us their thoughts and their questions. So I thought I'd let you listen in. Take a listen. Any of you ever had a friendship you had to fix or finish? Can you share what you did?
In my early adulthood, I had a guy that it was a relationship that was just going bad. So I confronted him, And we just kind of had it out. This is what's wrong. And he was my best man in my wedding. So it turned out really great. So that was the memory that I was thinking of when you were talking today, because you confront those issues. For me, I was thinking of this is going to end. This is going to be over. And it really fixed the relationship.
That's good, because it would have died a slow death over time if you hadn't done that.
You and I have talked about this before. I have a love-hate relationship with this message because it's so good. Everything, every point is so right and applicable, but I hate it because when you have that friendship that expires or that friendship that doesn't get fixed and is finished, but you weren't the finisher, you weren't even allowed to try and fix. When it goes away, I'll tell you this, I'll just be open and real transparent. I've had an open, gaping wound on this subject for about, 8.5 years probably, with a friend of mine who, we were just best of friends. She called me Abe and I called her Mo because we both had the mindsets of either Abraham and Moses, and we were those spiritual, friends, and then just boom, it was over. Hmm. And all the reaching out in the world hasn't fixed that. And I know that I need to just, 8.5 years, forget about it, move on. But it's not always that easy, especially when you're not the fixer or the finisher. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do. And I think that that's back to what I mentioned about finishing or fixing. There's that closure. We're either going to fix something, there's some progress, or we're going to finish it. When you can't do that, that's not unlike a time, some of you in marriages, where there's been that kind of just, there's no closure of whatever happened. It just kind of, it's over. And of course, that's a more intimate of relationships and more damaging, obviously. But even then, there can be some people have some closure, at least around a divorce, at least something, they get some closure around it and are able to move on in a more healthy way. But I'm sorry for that, Dawn, but I think that's not uncommon. It's not easy for us to deal with a friendship that breaks. It's easier just to walk away. So for that person, it's just easier to walk away than it is to be vulnerable and go through that process of whatever that means to either reconcile or restore or just complete it. All right, what's been some of the other experiences on friendships?
When I became divorced, there were people that the relationships died because we were couples.
Right.
And I was now the single person, or people just didn't want me. They saw me as maybe a threat because I was single. And so those relationships died kind of, as Don said, not through any fault of mine, but the situation that it was.
Very common.
And I know that a lot of times I've talked to people who have widowed, and they're also, it's the friendships that they've lost because they did things as a couples together, and now they no longer have those relationships.
I had a friendship, or started one right after my divorce, where I knew was unhealthy, and I was trying to encourage her, and it ended, which was a good thing because she was not a believer. And she asked me once, because we were both divorced, how are you handling all this? You're always, she saw me as stronger than her. And I just said, well, I'm trusting God the whole time. But she was stuck in her relationship. But her divorce, she was stuck. So she kept dwelling on the past. But I still have friends in my very past before, the divorce and all that, who aren't believers, but they know who God is. They know who I am. And I just want to know more about, how do you, I'm still friends with them, but not close.
Well, that goes back to this definition of friendship again. You're being influenced by people. And when we allow people into our lives that influence us, we say for our kids, we pick good friends, make sure they're good, because we know the influence. That's true for us as well. I've seen this 100 times in my working with people. A person will make a decision to change their life. Let's say they decide to walk away from their marriage, or their values change and so on, and they go in a different direction. They will then build around them the friends who will support that. In other words, we have to have a supportive structure that will tell us we're okay in what we're doing. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to have people around us who are going to say, you're off base. That's why when the scripture talks about provoking one another to good works, we need people in our life that can say, you are off base. But we don't want those people in our lives. So to answer your question, not everybody should influence our lives. We shouldn't allow everybody into our lives. We can have friendships, if we're using that word loosely, where we're ministering to a person. But when a person's allowed to start influencing us, they have power over us. That's a very dangerous place to be. That's why it's good to have wisdom and many counselors, the scripture says, to have people around us who will bring us up. Like our board of directors here at the ministry, we want to have men and women who are stronger, smarter, quicker than I am, who can raise us up. I don't want people who are going to drag us down. We've got to have people, same kind of thing, raise us up. Just because a person's a Christian, by the way, doesn't mean that they're going to be a good influence. And just because a person isn't a Christian doesn't mean they're going to be a bad influence. You can have non-Christian friends who might be very mature and speak to an area of your life that you need to hear from, as long as the influence isn't contrary to Scripture or taking you in a direction away from your values. So we've got to pick carefully.
Hello, Dr. Randy. This is Sam. And 2 years ago, I intentionally decided to leave the intentional life by waking up in the morning and thanking God for everything that He has done for me. Also, during the day, I take time to thank Him and thank Him again at night when I go to bed. And you know, that has made a real difference in my life. I'm more peaceful, I have more joy, and I get more encouragement to seek Him in His Word. I also like to get your address so I can make a contribution to your ministry. God bless.
Well, listen, we appreciate that, and it's very easy. Start at the web. Most people have access. Go to theintentionallife.com. All the information you can give online, you can get information to call us, talk to our staff, or send in a gift, because every dollar allows us to do what God has given us to do through this message of living intentionally in Christ. Join the members around the country. Thank you, members. Thank you for standing with us. Appreciate it. If you're not a monthly supporter, come and join us, and we'll send to you a new member kit, two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, and ongoing teaching on CD every month to say thank you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. When you're there, you can find out about our upcoming conference, Albuquerque, April 7th, our next conference, Kevin Lehman and I, and that's going to be in Albuquerque. We're looking forward to it. Tomorrow, come back with more. For fixing or finishing the friendship.